The Feather by Ford Madox Ford. Once upon a time, there was a king who reigned over a country as yet, for a reason you may learn later on, undiscovered. A most lovely country, full of green dales and groves of oak, a land of dappled meadows and sweet rivers, a green cup in a circlet of mountains, in whose shadow the grass was greenest. And the only road to enter the country lay up steep, boiling waterfalls and thereafter through rugged passes, the channels that the rivers had cut for themselves. Therefore, as you may imagine, the dwellers in the land were little troubled by inroads of hostile nations, and they lived peaceful lives, managing their own affairs and troubling little about the rest of the world. Now this king, like many kings before and after him, had a daughter who, while very young, had, I am sorry to say, been very self-willed. And the king, on the death of his wife, finding himself utterly unable to manage the princess, handed her over to the care of an aged nurse, who, however, was not much more successful. But that is neither here nor there. For years everything went on smoothly, and it seemed as if everything intended to go on smoothly until doomsday, in which case this history would probably never have been written. But one evening in summer the princess and her nurse, who had by this time become less able than ever to manage her charge, sat on a terrace facing the west. The princess had been amusing herself by pelting the swans swimming in the river with rose leaves, which the indignant swans snapped up as they fluttered down on the air or floated by on the river. But after a time she began to tire of this pastime, and sitting down, looked at the sun that was just setting, a blinding glare of orange flame behind the black hills. Suddenly she turned to the nurse and said, "What's on the other side of the hills?"
"Lockamussy me, miss," answered the nurse. "I'm sure I don't know."
"What a question to ask."
"Then why don't you ask someone who has been there?"
"Because no one ever has, miss."
"But why not?"
"Because there's a fiery serpent that eats everyone who comes near the hills. And if you're not eaten up, you're bound to tumble down a precipice that's nearly 3 miles deep before you can get over the hills."
"Oh, what fun!
Let's go," said the princess, by no means awed. But the nurse shook her head.
"No, miss, I won't go. And I'm sure your pa won't let you go."
"Oh yes, he will. Let's go and ask him." But at that moment a black shadow came across the sun, and the swans, with a terrified honk, honk, darted across the water to hide themselves in the reeds on the other side of the river, churning dark tracks in the purple of the sunlit water's glassy calmness.
"Oh dear! Oh dear!
It's a boggles, and it's coming this way," cried the nurse.
"But what is a boggles, nurse?"
"Oh dear, it's coming. Come into the house and I'll tell you, come.
Not until you tell me what a boggles is."
The nurse perforce gave in. "A boggles is a thing with a hooked beak and a squeaky voice, with hair like snakes and corkscrews, and it haunts houses and carries off things, and when it once gets in it never leaves again. Oh dear, it's on us.
Ohh.
Her cries only made the thing see them sooner. It was only an eagle, not a boggles, but it was on the lookout for food, and the sun shining on the princess's hair had caught its eyes, and in spite of the cries of the nurse it swooped down, and seizing the princess in its claws began to carry her off. The nurse, however, held on to her valiantly, screaming all the while for help. But the eagle had the best of it after all, for it carried up, not only the princess, but the nurse also. The nurse held on to her charge for some seconds, but finding the attempt useless, she let go her hold. And since it happened that at the moment they were over the river, she fell into it with a great splash, and was drifted on shore by the current. Thus the princess was carried off, and although the land far and wide was searched, no traces of her were discoverable. You may imagine for yourself what sorrow and rage the king indulged in. He turned the nurse off without warning, and even, in a paroxysm of rage, kicked one of his pages downstairs. Nevertheless, that did not bring back the princess. As a last resource, he consulted a wise woman. Ill-natured people called her a witch, who lived near the palace. But the witch could only say that the princess would return some day, but she couldn't or wouldn't say when, even though the king threatened to burn her. So it was all of no use, and the king was and remained in despair. But, since his majesty is not the important personage in the story, we may as well leave him and return to the princess. She, as you can think, was not particularly happy or comfortable, for the claws of the eagle pinched her, and besides, she was very frightened. For you see, she didn't know that it wasn't a boggles, as the nurse had called it, and a boggles is a great deal worse than the worst eagle ever invented. Meanwhile, the eagle continued flying straight towards the sun, which was getting lower and lower, so that by the time they reached the mountains it was dark altogether. But the eagle didn't seem at all afraid of the darkness, and just went on flying as if nothing had happened, until suddenly it let the princess down on a rock. At least, that was what it seemed to her to be.
Not knowing what else to do, she sat where the eagle had let her fall, for she remembered something about the precipice 3 miles deep, and she did not at all wish to tumble down that. She expected that the eagle would set to and make a meal off her at once. But somehow or other, either it had had enough to eat during the day, or else did not like to begin to have supper so late.